What's going on, football fans? Danny Kelly here. I'm joined by Jackson Bevins every week. This is Deep Balls. It is the NFL Picks podcast for SB Nation for field goals. We try to break down each game, give you some analysis as to why we think individual teams are going to win, try to have a little fun, and just basically break down the slate of games and look forward to the weekend. So, Jackson, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. That's a interesting slate of games this week. I'm actually really excited to talk about some of them.
Yeah, there's again, it's kind of like a lot of ones that you don't really know, you don't feel super confident making. There were quite a few picks here that I didn't feel very strongly about, and I did pick a few underdogs this week. So it's going to be kind of an interesting one to watch. Just to update where we are in the whole spiel. Jackson went 9-5 last week. He now sits at 49-28, which is 16th, right? 16th in the
16th in our group. Yep.
16th in entries. Yeah, exactly. So there's 138 entries. Jackson and I are actually sitting both at 49 wins right now. 85th percentile overall. We're really coming for you guys at the front right now. There's CW6. Andrew V210, and Maury Povich still number one.
Maury Povich is going wire to wire on this thing.
Yeah. So everyone in the lead, those three guys in the lead, our three guys and girls in the lead, have 53 right in the 98th percentile worldwide. So great job to you guys. Obviously, Jackson and I are kind of making a push towards the front, but still bested by several people in our group, so that's awesome. So anyways, let's just break right into it, I guess. First game on the schedule, Thursday night game, will be Atlanta at New Orleans. This is one of those short week division rivalry games. I think, you know, I'll be interested to see who you picked in this one, but I think I can guess. Obviously, New Orleans struggling quite a bit lately. They still have Drew Brees, though. It's a short week. They're at home. What do you think, Jackson?
Yeah, it's tough. It's one thing that has happened this year, and I don't know if it was intentional by the NFL to try and spice up the Thursday night games, but the better team seems to have been on the road in most of the Thursday games, the more talented team. And I think that, you know, Thursday night games you've heard me talk about before present a real disadvantage to the road team, just because it's such a short week to recover and repair, and that gets harder and harder on the road team as the season goes on. But we've seen a lot of more talented teams travel to presumably less talented teams on Thursday night, and as a result, I think road teams are 3-2 this year, and I'm picking the road team again this week. I am going with Atlanta. You know, I think Atlanta's very good, and I think that you do have to make those plays in tight games to end up winning 10, 11, 12, 13 games in a season. I think that they can do that, but they've also played down to a couple of opponents this year, and I could see this kind of being one of those games. I would say, you know, most Saints teams in the last 10 years I'd feel pretty confident about in this one, but for the first time, and I don't know how long, there's no identity to that team. And even the last couple of years when they've struggled, they still had that identity. You kind of knew what to expect from the other. And this year, that just hasn't been there. They're just not a very good team. And as I go down through the roster, I just don't see very many talent advantages at any position that the Saints have over the Falcons. So even though they're at home on a short week, I am taking Atlanta in this one.
Yeah, and I did too. I think it's going to be interesting watching New Orleans corners go up against the Falcons receivers, because I think right now, if you've watched any New Orleans games this year, their corners are just getting picked apart. Brandon Browner being one of them.
Isn't it crazy that Brandon Browner and Byron Maxwell have given up the two most yards to opposing wide receivers this year?
That is bad. That sucks. I mean, that's, like, obviously it tells you the Seahawks scheme is obviously very important to what they do and how well they do it.
But Browner wasn't a chump in New England.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, I don't know. That's a good point. So
it's just weird.
Yeah. Well, Browner's not getting any younger. You know, and he's never been like a speed guy, so maybe they're asking him to play the wrong type of thing. But I think in New England, he kind of did, you know, the Seahawks style of, like, it was like press coverage boundary stuff. Yeah. And he still, I think, led the NFL in penalty and whatever. So he's still kind of doing his thing. But yeah, so anyway, I think that's going to be a major mismatch. It'll be interesting to see how New Orleans tries to defend Atlanta and their deep passing attack and everything. And obviously they've gotten their run game going quite a bit too lately. So I just think Atlanta's offense is too good. It's going to be, you know, a track meet out there potentially, because, you know, for all the Falcons, you know, danger on offense, they're a very dangerous offensive team. I don't think they're particularly great on defense. And they haven't had a very great schedule. They haven't had a very hard schedule yet either. So, it'll be interesting. But yeah, I mean, again, it's a Thursday game, so anything can happen. But they are, it's not like a long trip from New Orleans to Atlanta, or sorry, Atlanta to New Orleans. So that kind of affects it. It's also in the same time zone, all that stuff. So,
And that's a very good point. And it's something interesting. Football Outsiders, every week they release the schedule ranks. They adjust their schedule ranks for teams in games played so far and games coming up. And you're right, the Falcons have had a pretty easy schedule, the 22nd most difficult out of 32 in terms of their past schedule. Their future schedule is the easiest in the NFL.
Really?
We might legitimately be talking about a 13 or more win team with the Atlanta Falcons. They have the easiest remaining schedule in the NFL, according to Football Outsiders.
How the hell did they get such an easy schedule? That is ridiculous.
Well, there's no – I mean, We'll find out if Carolina is a paper tiger or not, but, you know, that division is super beatable. I don't know who their cross division is they're playing this year, but I think it might be the NFC East, which isn't very good either. So anyway, there's we might be the road to the Super Bowl might go through Atlanta this year.
Well, that'd be kind of crazy. You know, if the Seahawks did end up going back there, if they make it to the playoffs, with a chance to play Dan Quinn and get a revenge game against the Falcons for 2012, that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, it would be.
Obviously, that's looking forward quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, so that'll be a fun game. We'll probably watch that together tomorrow night. And hopefully, you know, Atlanta will win, so we'll both be right. This is, I think, the first Thursday night game in a couple weeks that we've picked the same one. So
yeah.
Moving on down the line, we got Denver at Cleveland. Denver's favored by 4 on the road. I think that feels about right, although I do think Cleveland is playing pretty well right now. Their offense is actually clicking. Josh McCown he's thrown in the 3 straight games, he's thrown more passing yards than any quarterback in their franchise history.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about. He threw for 457 yards last year or last week or something like that. Something kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, he's really been amazing since he came out and kind of took the starting job, because there's a lot of, you know, well, maybe it's time for Manziel, and
right.
Josh McCown, he just sort of sounds like a backup. But
yeah.
Can Travis Benjamin and Gary Barnage and turn them into like some incredibly productive passing offense.
Yeah. Although I will say this week is an interesting matchup, because Denver's pass defense is probably the best in the NFL. So that is an interesting – I come down to more interceptions and touchdown passes this year. I guess teams are, you know, crowding the box, not really, you know, giving him any respect deep, which, you know, affects their run game as well. So it's going to be an interesting game. I ended up picking Denver. Who did you pick in this game?
I took Cleveland. And – yeah.
Like, the more I think about it, I don't really blame you.
It's kind of a crazy thing to think. And right now we've got 91% of the country picking Denver. And really? It's easy. When you think of Cleveland, you sort of think of ineptitude. And then you look at the Broncos and they're 5-0. But there's a couple things about this that make me think that Cleveland's going to win. One, they're at home. Two, yeah. McCown is playing very, very well. And yeah, Denver's defense is the best in the NFL, but no DeMarcus Ware. And now it's looking like maybe no Aqib Talib. And those are huge cogs in that defense. I think DeMarcus Ware is third in the NFL in sacks. Aqib Talib's been amazing. That's a big deal. So there's that. And we're all talking about how the Denver offense is down, but it's still Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and Peyton Manning, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are 32nd in offensive DVOA. They are the worst offensive team in the NFL. And to be honest, it's not close. They have a negative 26.7 offensive rating, which, I mean, whatever, that's sort of just kind of out there number. But
right.
I mean, that's huge. It's the vast majority of the teams are somewhere within 10% of average. Mm-hmm. So to be 26% one way or the other is really crazy. They're really bad on offense, like really, really bad. And,
yeah,
you know, Cleveland's scoring a lot of points right now. They're scoring 28 points a game the last four. And I think Denver's going to have to score some points to win this. And they haven't shown that they can do that. Like, their defense is getting all their scores. So, right. You know, it's one of those ones where I see it as far more of a coin flip than, you know, a four-point spread. I think that four-point spread has the perception of these teams. But I've got Cleveland in this one.
You're kind of convincing me here a little bit. So I'm doubting my pick a little bit, but I'm sticking with it. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. It's definitely an interesting matchup from that point of view, because, you know, in Cleveland's defense isn't chopped liver either. I don't know what they are in DVOA so far, but I know they have some talented players in their secondary, you know, and they can rush the passer a little bit. So
they really do. I'll actually tell you how Cleveland shakes out. Actually, not very good on defense. They are 27th. Yeah, they're 27th.
That's a little surprising, you know.
Yeah, it is a little surprising, but you look at their scores, and I mean, we're talking about gave up 31 to the Jets, 27 to the Raiders, 30 to the Chargers, 30 to Baltimore. So they've definitely given up some points as well. But Denver just isn't a point scoring team, honestly. I mean, they're just not.
I know, it's crazy. Which is such a weird paradox, like, or contradiction to, you know, who they were 2 years ago when the Seahawks beat them, like, that year.
Yeah.
Literally, like, the greatest offense of all time.
Yeah.
And now they're, like, the worst in the league. It's just so crazy to think about it. And, I mean, really, there's still a lot of the same, like, playmakers there, you know?
And it's funny because Peyton Manning has a defense for the first time. Like, really a top-level defense for the first time in his career, and it happens to coincide with the biggest drop-off he's ever experienced, which I guess you could look at as kind of a blessing, like it's kind of helping float him right now. But at the same time, it's got to be like, man, what would a defense even 80 or 90% as good as this have been like with Peyton Manning, you know, in his prime? We're probably talking 4 or 5 rings.
Yeah. And I guess I said that they have a lot of the same playmakers. I don't think that's actually true. I think they pretty much only Demaryius is the same guy from that
from the Super Bowl. They've turned that offense over enormously.
Yeah, so I was wrong on that the more I thought about it. But yeah, so anyhow, that'll be an interesting game. Let's move on down to the next one, Cincinnati at Buffalo. I think this is also a pretty interesting game. Although my confidence in Buffalo has waned a lot the last couple weeks. Who did you pick in this game?
I took Cincinnati, but mostly because it looks like Tyrod Taylor is going to be out.
Right.
You know, I think that Tyrod Taylor has definitely got some Russell Wilson to him, and I think that the way that they run the ball is a really good complement for that. But he's still showing a lot of inconsistency, but I think good Tyrod Taylor can beat the Bengals at home. But it's looking more and more like EJ Manuel. Does look like they'll have McCoy and Watkins back, and perhaps Carlos Williams as well. So that's probably their three best offensive players. But I don't trust EJ Manuel to go out and beat a Bengals team that we saw firsthand is clicking and really playing well. They're to adapt to what Seattle did to them. And Buffalo is a very similar defense to Seattle in terms of style and production. you know, Cincinnati's got the weapons to make adjustments. Andy Dalton's playing out of his mind right now. He's best playing like the best quarterback in the world, as crazy as that is. So yeah. I do think it keeps rolling for the Bengals, and I think we're starting to look at the Bengals as, like, you know, a team that can really compete for an AFC title this year.
Yeah, I also picked Cincinnati, similar to same reasons. I also, you know, just the Buffalo defense has been a little inconsistent. I don't really know if I trust them very well anymore. But, yeah, I mean, having their backup in, you know, they've got some injuries on offense. I think that EJ Manuel actually did play really well in the preseason, so it should be an interesting game from that perspective to see if he kind of maybe makes it like a quarterback controversy there in Buffalo. But yeah, I just think that Cincinnati's playing really, really well right now. They're very confident, and that's a game they can win, and I think they will end up winning it. Moving on down, let's talk about Kansas City, Minnesota. Kansas City has had a depressing season so far. Obviously, we talked about it last week. They played the first three teams they lost to are all still undefeated, I think, in New England, Denver, and Cincinnati. And then they lost last week to the Chicago Bears, which is weird. And they also lost Jamal Charles to ACL injury, obviously. So their season's looking like it's going into the shitter quickly. On the other hand, Minnesota, you know, they're playing pretty well. I think they're coming off their bye. Who did you get in this game?
I've got Minnesota, and I probably would have picked them even if Jamal Charles was healthy.
Yeah.
I just, you know, Minnesota has realized that Adrian Peterson is back and, like, back to being Adrian Peterson. There's no more figuring out if he can handle the full workload or any of that. He's the man, and they are just completely minimizing Bridgewater's effect on the game. I actually really like the development that Bridgewater made in the last half of last year. I thought he was quite good. But he hasn't been very good this year, and teams know that, and they're trying to jump routes and pressing coverage and all that stuff and crowding the box, and it just doesn't matter. Minnesota can still kind of enforce their will on them, and Kansas City has been bad against the run this year. I think there's a lot of individual talent on that Chiefs team. Actually, there's a ton of individual talent on that Chiefs team. But if it hasn't come together now, it's not going to start on the road without Jamal Charles.
Yeah. I picked the Vikings as well. I just think that Kansas City is kind of on the ropes right now, and they don't look like they're full of too much fight right now. But, I mean, you know, you could see them kind of rally around the injury and all that, but it just feels like they're demoralized. It almost feels like their season's over. You know what I mean? Like, not really to this point. Obviously, it's really early still, but it just kind of feels bad for them. And I think Minnesota's at home. They've got a good defense, a good offense. They've got Adrian Peterson. I just see this game coming down to a lot of those factors. And yeah, so I went with Minnesota. moving down, we got a pick 'em game per Vegas. It's Houston at Jacksonville. Obviously, both teams playing crappy. So who'd you get in this one?
Yeah, this was Houston by one all day, and just in the last hour, it switched to a pick 'em. These are two pretty bad teams. And, you know, my rule when there are bad teams, unless you have a compelling reason otherwise, just pick the home team. There's so many variables with bad teams. They're tougher to predict. So I am taking Jacksonville. I actually really love what I've been seeing out of Blake Bortles lately. He has weapons, and he's not afraid to use them. Like, he will challenge defenses with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, and that's really fun to watch. T.J. Yeldon is showing that he can handle an NFL workload. It'd be interesting to see if he can play in this one. But Houston has been really, really, really bad at executing all manner of football this year. Like, it's crazy. We were watching that game against the Hasselbeck Colts last week, and it was just, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, there was nothing. Man, there was just nothing that team could do.
Yeah.
But it was interesting when they
– man, Houston sucks.
Yeah. It was, like, shocking. I wasn't expecting them to be great this year, but it's like there's too much talent for them to be that bad. And The one thing that did give me pause on this pick was how well Brian Hoyer played and coming in and basically throwing for 300 yards and a half to bring them back to that game and give them a shot. But I do have Jacksonville mostly just because I don't have a compelling reason not to take the home team.
Yeah. And I know the rule and it's a good rule. But I broke that rule this week.
Good for you.
I took Houston and you know, it comes down to, I mean, on a pick 'em, it's really just gut, right? Like it's just, mm-hmm. Who do you think is going to play better? Well,
the line is saying that they think Houston's a better team on a neutral field.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, it's at Jacksonville.
That's true.
Right?
So yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, that's not crazy. The line is saying that Houston's the better team.
Yeah, and so, you know, last week we saw that. We saw, you know, DeAndre Hopkins kind of dominate. And, you know, Jalen Strong caught that toss-up in the end zone and, you know, all that stuff. But I don't know. I think I agree with you. I think that Jacksonville's offense is looking really interesting lately, and they have some good young players. But I don't know. I just, for some reason, I just think that Houston is the better team right now. They have the better defense, even though, you know, really they haven't done anything well this year so far. But I just think they have better team overall. And Jacksonville's just, man, the Jacksonville just, I mean, they just suck too. It's just like,
They do. I'm not trying to make the case that they're a good team.
So anyhow, it really did just come down to kind of a gut pick for me. So I went with Houston on that one, although I don't feel very strongly about it. They do have, you know, one guy who can kind of take over a game in J.J. Watt. And that, you know, he's been a little bit quiet so far this year. So, you know, maybe this week is kind of the week where you wake up the sleeping dragon or whatever. But yeah, so that'll be an interesting game from the aspect of it's a good matchup of two terrible teams. So moving on down the line, we got another. Actually, I think this game is pretty interesting, to be honest. It's Chicago at Detroit. Obviously, Detroit is 0-5 in shambles. Nothing is going right for them right now. But meanwhile, Chicago has won two in a row, I believe. So they are kind of on the uptick again. And obviously, Chicago beat KC last week. And Jay Cutler is playing a little bit better. They're kind of getting their, you know, their wind a little bit for the season. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how the Bears might be the number one overall pick. I don't think we're having that conversation anymore. So I picked Chicago.
The Lions might, though.
God, seriously. And I can't believe the Lions are favored in this game, to be honest. But, yeah, I picked the underdogs in this game as well. I picked Chicago. I just think they're more confident right now. I think Jay Cutler is a better quarterback right now. You know, Matt Stafford got freaking benched last week, which is crazy to think about.
They insist there's no quarterback controversy, but that probably is only because it's Dan Orlovsky who's backing him up.
Right. I mean, they do have a controversy in that their, quote, franchise quarterback is really playing shitty. I mean, like, the controversy now is, like, what do we do now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I just think, you know, Golden Tate's calling out the Lions fans, like, you know, it seems like there's a lot of kind of, there's like a maelstrom of bad juju in that team right now. So it's just, I just had to go with the Bears in this one. Who did you pick in this game?
This one was really tough to me because I think the Lions are a really, really bad team. But I did pick them to win, and it has everything to do with the fact that they're at home against a team that I still think is bad. Yeah, they played better the last couple of games, got a couple of wins, which, I mean, wins in the NFL, I always say it, they're hard to come by no matter how you get them. Cherish them when you can get them, but I don't think that they're playing well. Kansas City completely folded on offense after Charles was gone. They tried to kind of figure out a new game plan in the middle because everything runs through him. With Chicago, to pick them, I would have to be picking the third worst team by DVOA on the road. And I just don't know that there's a team out there that I would choose for them to do that with. If there was, it'd be Detroit, which is why it was tough for me. But I don't think Detroit is as bad as they've played. And if they're ever going to get a win, this at home against Chicago is it. And I don't think they're going winless. So I do have Detroit in this one. Not uber confident about it, but yeah, going home.
I like it. So far we have 1, 2, 3 different teams already, or 3 different picks already this week. So that's cool. But yeah, I mean, I like your analysis on that as well. I think, you know, with these games that are so, you know, these shitty teams against shitty teams, it's like really like,
I hate picking games between bad teams. Yeah. I would much rather pick games between two really good teams.
I guess it's funny because for both of those games, I broke the kind of cardinal rule of bad games and picked the away team.
Hey man, it's been working. You've been, after that week too, man, I think I had like a 4 or 5 game lead on you. You've been steady chipping into it. So whatever you've been doing lately is working.
All right. Well, I'm going to stick with it. Next on the docket, we got Washington at New York Jets. You know, Washington, I think, is better this year than I expected they'd be. But they're still not good. And then, you know, the Jets, I think, are actually a pretty good team. I think on offense, they're better than I think a lot of people expected. Brandon Marshall is a huge piece of that offense. You know,
having Chris Ivory looks really good.
Yeah, yeah. So I got a decent amount of confidence in that team right now. And I picked the Jets in this game at home. Did you have anything different there?
No. You know, a lot of times the way I'll look at a pick is how many teams would I choose to beat this team at home? How many teams in the NFL are there? And right now, there's maybe 10 that I choose to win in New York, and Washington is definitely not one of them. So I have the Jets. The Jets are actually my survivor pool pick this week. They're the team I feel most confident in that I haven't picked yet. So I do have the Jets in this one, and I don't have a ton to add to it.
All right. Moving on down. This game is good, I think. It's Arizona at Pittsburgh. You know, we saw Pittsburgh kind of do a ballsy-ass play on Monday Night Football, do the Wildcat walk-off touchdown, which is awesome. They've managed to kind of survive without Ben Roethlisberger, and they're obviously Michael Vick, you know, is the backup there, and Le'Veon Bell's back, and then eventually they're going to get Martavis Bryant. He was inactive for this last game, I think, but
he's looking – he says he's a full go for this week.
Okay, that's good. So, I mean, they're kind of like – they're hanging on, and, you know, they've given themselves a chance in the NFC – or the AFC North. So, you know, that said, I think that Arizona is just playing freaking lights out still. Even on the road, I picked the Cardinals in this one just because of the way they've been playing, the way they've been blowing teams out, the way they're kind of like super, super confident. But I don't know. I mean, like the way that the Steelers beat the Chargers made me kind of think maybe this is a, you know, a better game than I thought originally. But at the end of the day, I picked Arizona. Who did you pick in this game?
Well, you know, if I had known that last week was basically going to be a home game for the Steelers, I might have chosen differently. I mean, it was crazy. That crowd was 2/3 Steelers fans in San Diego.
Poor San Diego, man.
Yeah, right. Man, tough, just a tough thing they're going through right now. Got to be difficult to play football in an environment like that. But I have clicked both teams twice each on this game. This has been my – we're talking about the number 2 team by DVOA at the number 5 team. Unfortunately, I think a lot of Pittsburgh's number 5 has to do with how well they played with Ben Roethlisberger there. And if Roethlisberger were playing in this one, I would choose Pittsburgh. I think he's that good. But, I mean, Antonio Brown ceased to exist when Ben Roethlisberger went down. He has 8 catches on 17 targets since Roethlisberger got hurt. He had 29 catches on 34 targets when Roethlisberger was in, at like a 14 yard per target clip. And we're talking like crazy God King numbers. Yeah. And he, for as amazing as Le'Veon Bell is, and I do think he's the best running back in the NFL right now, Antonio Brown is what opened everything up, and he created so much. And him and Ben Roethlisberger were the most indefensible duo in the NFL, really, for the last 3 years, simply because, I mean, they could probably both run their routes and make their throws with their eyes closed and complete at 60% of the time. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And Vic is, you know, Antonio Brown went from catching passes from a rifle to catching them from a shotgun. You know, you don't know where the ball's going to go. Michael Vick routinely is missing short throws by 3 yards. Mm. And I think that Arizona is good enough to take advantage of that. They're an extremely opportunistic defense. They put a ton of pressure on quarterbacks, and Michael Vick has not been very good under pressure in these last 2 weeks. So really the only times he's made really good throws is when he's had a very clean pocket. And I just don't think he's going to have clean pockets in this one. I think Arizona's really good. I will definitely be cheering for Pittsburgh. I'd like to see Seattle get within a game first after this one. And I actually like Pittsburgh. I know we're supposed to hate the Steelers, but I actually really like them a lot. And would like to see them win. But I do think Arizona is the better team, especially with Roethlisberger out. Carson Palmer is playing amazing. I mean, he, you know, put up whatever numbers it was last week, 3 touchdowns and 200 yards or whatever on 14 pass attempts. Like, it's crazy. And then Chris Johnson is the second. Chris Johnson, who was like a late sign, I think, after week one, he's the second leading rusher in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
David Johnson has like 6 touchdowns in 4 games, and now Andre Ellington's back. And on his 3rd carry back, he busted a 60-yard touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald has gone through a rebirth. John Brown is the new T.Y. Hilton. Like,
God damn it, I hate them.
The Cardinals are fucking good right now. Like, this is not just feasting on an easy schedule. They're a really good team. And they're put the boot to the teeth type of team too after they've got you beat. You see Bruce Arians' quote when he was talking about way up on a team like that?
No, I didn't see what he said.
He says, well, it really cuts back on the amount of yards we can get, so it hurts. You know, we don't really like it because it hurts our stats.
Dude, you never hear a guy say stuff like that.
That's funny. He's awesome. He's such a villain. I love it. So,
he really is. He's like my least – I mean, I like respect the hell out of him as a coach, but he's like my least favorite head coach right now. Like, God damn it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But he's got that team playing with unbelievable swagger.
They remind me so much of the Seahawks from a couple of years ago.
Oh, like, my gosh. They are the 2012 Seahawks all over again. It's crazy. So
it's uncanny.
Yeah, it really is, man. It really is. So I would love the Cardinals if they were in any other division, but unfortunately they're in the NFC West. All that is really long-winded way to say that I am choosing the Cardinals.
You know, and the way that you talk about Antonio Brown falling off a cliff since Mike Vick came in, it's really interesting just thinking about how intertwined receivers and quarterbacks are in terms of their stats. Because there is no like dispute. Antonio Brown is fucking good. Like really good. Yep. But
I think he's the single toughest cover in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, you know, he can look real human when you have kind of a mediocre quarterback throwing in the ball. It's so interesting to me, like how, like, you know, it's like a symbiotic relationship. You know, you really have to have a good quarterback throwing you passes, or else as a receiver, you just kind of look pedestrian. It's crazy. I don't even say that as like a shot at the Seahawks. You know, I didn't mean pedestrian, like as a, you know, whatever. But like, honestly, it's true. It's like crazy. Cause for instance, like right now, everyone's talking about Jimmy Graham. And I understand that. And I get it. And I'm starting to feel that way too. But at the end of the day, I mean, Russell Wilson's not Drew Brees, you know?
Yep.
It's like Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, this like insanely crazy trust and relationship on the field. That was like Jimmy Graham and Drew Brees.
And it took 20 games of playing with Drew Brees before Jimmy Graham started to produce like Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't just happen.
Yeah.
Like, that rapport takes time.
It's not just the Seahawks offense.
It's not plug and play.
Right. And so, like, I don't know. That just is really fascinating to me. Kind of adds a lot of context to what's going on in Seattle right now, I think. And at the same time, I mean, you see like Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse, there's a lot more trust in those three, I think, between those three. And so, you know, like we've seen like Kearse and Doug have like zero drops this year. So it's like, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting. I think I'm still willing, you know, there was an article today asking if the Seahawks should trade Jimmy Graham. I'm just like, shut up. But like, I do think, you know, even though I'm frustrated with how he's been playing and how he's been used a little bit, like, you know, I'm still pretty much happy with how he's played, but it's starting to be like, maybe like they need to change something up. But at the end of the day, I think it's really, a lot of it is just chemistry, like learning to play and trust with each other.
And honestly, at what point can we just trust that this team knows what they're doing? Like, they've been the best team in the NFL for 3 years.
Yeah.
It's always that has to count for something when we were getting frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, and this is residual Percy stuff. Like, if Percy Harvin had, you know, not ever happened with Seattle, I think people would probably look at this a whole lot different.
I agree.
But it's kind of like, oh, not again. You know what I mean? But like,
that's right.
That was a unique situation. Percy Harvin's a unique person. Obviously, you know, his track record would indicate it really wasn't, you know, it really wasn't Seattle's fault that didn't work out.
I agree.
So anyway, long story short, again, I agree. I picked Arizona, but I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. Moving down the line, we got Miami at Tennessee, which is, I don't know how to describe this game. It'll be an interesting one, I guess. Obviously, Miami's reeling from firing head coach Philbin. What's his first name? Joe Philbin. And, you know, they have their interim head coach now, young guy. Potentially, you know, they could infuse a little energy into that unit. But I don't think the history of interim coaches has been especially strong in the NFL. So, What do you think? Do you think Miami's back on the up, or are they kind of finished?
Well, I think they're not as bad as they've played. You know, Joe Philbin just sort of has always seemed like a semi-animated sack of potatoes. It's just ever since he was on Hard Knocks, and you just saw how he like interacted with players and went about his business, and there's no culture of Joe Philbin there. There's no team personality. It's a bunch of individual players doing individual player stuff, and it just, they'll be better off without him, I think, assuming they have someone decent to take over. But you're right. It's the NFL. You hear me talk about identity a lot with teams, and I think that's so important to know your role and know how it relates to the roles of your teammates, and know what your relationship with your coaches are and all that stuff. It matters a lot. And I think that Miami's just lacking that. They're a lot worse than I expected them to be this year. I thought they'd be a playoff team with all the talent they added in the offseason. That's clearly not going to happen. And Tennessee has been a lot better than I thought. Tennessee's actually 14th in DVOA, which is kind of crazy to think about at the beginning of the season. I would be tempted to take Miami if it were in Miami, but I think Tennessee is legitimately the better team, and they're at home, so I took them.
All righty. I took them as well. Moving on down, let's talk about Carolina at Seattle. Right now, obviously, the Seahawks are favored by 7, but I think this is going to be a tight one as per usual. This is the lowest point total per Vegas on the slate this week. 41 is the over-under number. Probably going to be a bit of a defensive battle. What do you think?
Yeah, I would be curious to know when the last time a team with a losing record was a 7-point favorite over an undefeated team. You know, you've got a 4-0 team coming off of a bye, and they're being picked to lose by 7 to a 2-3 team. And I think that says a lot about how much to read into early season NFL records. You know, you can go back. It's kind of a fun exercise. I don't have any of the numbers to rip off, but it was something I was thinking about this year because it's something I did the year before too, when Seattle was 3-3, and looking at the correlation between the records at the end of September, records at the end of October, and who actually makes it to the playoffs and makes runs. And there's is that a surprisingly low correlation? You know, we don't know anything about anybody except for the few really good teams and the few really bad teams until November. You know, Seattle, there's so many ways you could look at the Seahawks. Yeah, they're a miracle fumble away from being 1-4, but they're also holding on to leads away from being 5-0. They've led in the fourth quarter of every game.
Yeah.
And the teams that they've lost to are good teams. So I do think Seattle's much better than their record. I think that they've kind of just been a play away three times. You can make a case that maybe Green Bay is just a better team, but I think that Seattle is still a top-tier NFL team, certainly at home. You know, they continue to be amazing at home, 29-2 in the Russell Wilson era. So,
that's insane.
Yeah, and they've owned the Panthers. You know, only the playoff game was it ever really close, but they beat them three times in 3 years in Carolina. And then, you know, kind of thumped them a little bit.
This is the game where the Seahawks get their mojo back?
I think so. I think when you see a good – you know, when you – if they win this game and the crowd is leaving the stadium after beating a 4-0 team and the fans, you know, watching at home or clicking off. If the Seahawks win this game, I think that that's a, you know, okay, we can beat teams that aren't the Bears and the Lions. And I think that this is the game they're going to do it. You know, it's Carolina, as we've talked about, I think is sort of addition by subtraction. You take all of Cam Newton's options away, and all you're left with is Cam Newton. And when all Cam Newton is left with is Cam Newton, he's really, really dangerous, and he's playing the best football of his career right now. And he's kind of tapped back into that rookie season,
right?
Dynamo, get on my back. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna smile the whole way. Like I'm an enormous Cam Newton fan, and I really want to see him do well. But I don't think he will do well in this game. I think he's going to need someone to throw to. One of the things we talked about on the Cigar Thoughts podcast last night, which should post in the morning, was how many great throws and catches have been made to beat the Seahawks in these games,
yeah.
Whether it be the Super Bowl, whether it be Tony Romo's miracle to Terrence Williams for Dallas last year, whether it was, you know, freaking Nick Foles throwing that pass between Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman to Stedden Bailey on the sideline, you know, the one that Dalton threw to Eifert, that diving catch, you know, late in the game. To beat the Seahawks, you have to make a couple of those plays, and I don't know that there's anyone in Carolina who can. So their defense also hasn't been very good. They do have Luke Kuechly back, but they're missing Charles Johnson, who is their Michael Bennett. And they haven't been as good as their record, in my opinion. I think Seattle's been a lot better than theirs. So 7 points actually sounds right to me in this one, and I do have the Seahawks winning.
Nice. All right, moving on down. We got San Diego at Green Bay.
I take it you're picking the Seahawks as well?
Oh, did I not say? Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I'm picking the Seahawks at home. Yeah, I blanked there. Sorry.
Is there a team in the NFL you would choose over the Seahawks in Seattle?
Probably no. No, I don't think so. I mean, the way that I look at the Seahawks is they can beat anybody at home. And then they can beat most people on the road. They can beat anybody on the road some of the time. Does that make sense?
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, they're pretty much they're, you know, obviously we've talked about it in the past, like they have one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. They're essentially kind of like the Green Bay Packers of, you know, like you have to put something pretty special together to beat them at home. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I would pick anybody. Like in our picks, like I probably will never pick any team to be the Seahawks at home. Like, you know, like regardless of how good they are, I just think the Seahawks will win at home. So like you said, I mean, it kind of takes a act of God to, it's like a jet, you know how they talk about how like a jetliner crash, like you have to have like 12 things go wrong successively for like anything, like, cause everything is, there's so much redundancy built into like jets and everything. Yep. For there to be an air disaster, you have to have like 12 things in a row go wrong. I feel like that's kind of like it's a terrible analogy, but it's kind of like what happens with Seattle. Like they have to have like some real serious issues with like 5 or 6 things straight to lose at home. So that's kind of how I feel about that.
I'm with you. It's not that it can't happen, but it's only happened twice in the last 3.5 years. We're talking about Bonin's having a 7% winning percentage in Seattle. So it takes something pretty special.
Yep. So that's where I land on that. I picked the Seahawks. Obviously, both of us were correct last week in picking the Bengals, which is unfortunate. But
I would happily have gone 8-6 instead of 9-5.
No doubt. And Seattle almost made us look bad. I mean, 3/4 of the way through, they were kind of dominating, obviously. But we don't need to open up that wound again. Let's talk about Green Bay and San Diego. This is kind of an interesting game. I mean, I always, you know how I feel. I love Phil Rivers. I think he's
a little, you do.
And they're kind of one of those teams.
Do it.
I just got done telling you they're like, the Seahawks are like Green Bay, unbeatable at home. I pick Green Bay because they're at home. Kind of struggled a little bit on offense, it feels like. Maybe not quite as potent as they'd been recently, but they're still getting W's, obviously. Their defense has been way better than I thought it would be. I kind of thought they would, like, ride their offense this year, but their defense has actually been really good. So, but San Diego is an interesting wild card. I don't think they're going to win, but they can score points in bunches. They've kind of got some good playmakers. Obviously, having Antonio Gates back with
holy cow, didn't miss
it. Is a big deal. I mean, he caught, I think he had 11 targets. He had 9 catches on 11 targets, 2 touchdowns. This is, again, like, remember, like, we're talking, like, the greatest chemistry between two players of those positions of all time, right? Like, or something close to.
Yep.
That chemistry is important. And, you know, you saw it manifest quickly, even though he's missed the first 4 games. So, but at the end of the day, I picked Green Bay. I think they'll win just because they're so unstoppable at home and they're so balanced this year.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a team I would pick to beat Green Bay and Green Bay in the NFL. I mean, they look at this point of their season, and I'm not saying they will, right? It's just too hard to do, but they're looking like they could be a 16-0 team. Yep. I mean, they're so good in every phase of the game. And you know, they're fifth on offense in DVOA. They're fourth in defense. The Green Bay defense is the fourth best defense in the NFL so far.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
this is a complete team right now. So, I joked about maybe the road to the Super Bowl going through Atlanta, but it's going to go through Green Bay in the NFC, and this game will just reassert that. I do like the Chargers. I kind of have this begrudging admiration for them, but they just seem to me to be the definition of an 8-10 win team every single season.
They are. And
an 8-10 win team isn't going into Green Bay and beating this team with this Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah. I've got Green Bay by a couple of scores.
All right, moving on down, we got Baltimore at San Francisco. I actually think this is a pretty interesting game.
Niners showed some fight on Sunday.
Yeah, and it was kind of, I don't know how I, this is the weirdest emotion, but it was actually kind of good to see them,
them
do well. I don't know why I feel that way, but, you know, I was a little bit relieved to see Colin Kaepernick actually start looking like an NFL quarterback. Don't know why, but I guess it was just kind of cool. It just, like, as a football fan in general, like, it was, I mean, it's just, I guess, more fun to watch him play well. He's one of those kind of exciting quarterbacks because he's like Russell Wilson in the sense he can run really well. He's really athletic. He's got a cannon for an arm. But, you know, there's that missing element, at least has been this year. He's obviously kind of going in the wrong direction, but he definitely looked a lot better.
Trying to make him something that he isn't. They need to stop trying to do the same. And you see this with every really mobile, assertive running quarterback in the NFL, eventually for longevity purposes or just so the offense can run, you know, the coordinators can run an offense they're more comfortable with. They try and get these guys in the pocket. And a lot of guys can make that switch. I don't ever see it happening for Kaepernick. He is a mess fundamentally. I mean, that guy is just – he's got appendages going in every direction when he throws – and it takes him so long to get that throw where it's going. But when he's on the edge, then defenders have to choose. And when they have to choose, he can make them pay. And Seahawks fans have seen that. So I hope for the 49ers' sake that they adapt the offense to him and start trying to get him out on the edge. I think as a football fan or as a Seahawks fan, football is more fun when the 49ers matter. So I'd like to see them start mattering again before too long.
What did you pick in this game?
I really wanted to pick the 49ers. I really did. But I think the Ravens are one of the best 1-4 teams I've seen, yeah, or whatever that means. I mean, it's so crazy to think that Harbaugh number two, you know, first one was the Super Bowl, and the second one is 2-1-4 teams, yeah. 3 years later? But I guess it's not really the Harbaugh because it's obviously Jim Harbaugh's gone. But I do have the Ravens winning, assuming that Forsett is healthy because – as you know, we've talked about the last couple of weeks, the Ravens have adapted their offense to work to his strengths and kind of play off of that. And he's rewarded them with, you know, 250 plus yards rushing combined in the last two games. So I think that opens up a lot for him. It's looking like Steve Smith might be back, which makes a world of difference for them. So anyhow, I do have the Ravens winning just because they're a better team. I really wanted to pick the 49ers in this one, but I think Baltimore's closer to the middle of the pack. And San Francisco is the worst team by DVOA. They're 29th on offense. They're 31st on defense. They're 25th in special teams. They're bad across the board. I just got to go with the better team in this one.
Well, I picked the 49ers for you, man. I don't know why, for whatever reason, I like San Francisco in this game. I don't think Baltimore, they just don't have the teeth that they normally have on defense or offense this year. And I think San Francisco's, you know, obviously they lost that game last week, but I think they're playing a lot better football and they're coming home. They're probably better there, obviously. So this was kind of one of those gut picks and it went against the spread and everything, but I chose San Francisco in this game. I think, there might be an upset this weekend there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough pick for me. You know, I would have assumed before the season this would have been a pretty easy one. But I think that you still have to be decent. You have to play a pretty good game to beat the Ravens, and I don't think the 49ers will do it.
Fair enough. That's good. So now we have four games difference this week, I think, which is an all-time high on this podcast, so that's fun. Could be some divergent scoring going on this week. So that'll be fun to watch. Two more games on the schedule. Let's talk about New England at Indianapolis. Still haven't really heard. Is Luck planning on playing this week? What's the deal with that? Do you know?
Well, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, the Patriots are going to go out and hang 70 on the Colts if they can after – you know, they blew the whistle on Deflategate and whatever. Like, it's throat stomping time. So, I don't know. I mean, Andrew Luck gives them a better chance because he's a better quarterback than Hasselbeck, but he hasn't been good this year, and the Patriots probably aren't the team you're going to start looking good against. I wouldn't be surprised if they score 20-plus, but I think the Patriots are going to crush the Colts in this one. I really do. You know, Tom Brady has a feature running back for the first time in however long. Like, Deion Lewis is the real deal.
Yeah.
And he's put the ball on the ground a couple of times, and we all know how fungible the running back position is for Bill Belichick. Like, he'll just plug and play. Like, what was it? Jonas Gray ran for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns and then wasn't a healthy scratch the next week.
Yeah.
Like, it just – the fact that Deion Lewis has fumbled twice and is still getting all of the touches, he's legit. And that gives Tom Brady something that he hasn't had in a really long time. Julian Edelman is still running the best routes in the NFL. He's killing it. Gronk, obviously, the defense has been good. You know, they're the number one team in DVOA by a margin. I think the Colts are kind of like the outside looks pretty good, but I think they're kind of like an apple that's rotting from the inside. They just, the inner workings, the line play defensive pressure. None of that's there for them. They don't establish any will on the offensive or defensive side of the ball. So I think New England takes pretty good care of them. New England is first in offense, ninth in defense, third in special teams. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What about you? Colts have a chance?
No.
Yeah.
I pick New England in this one for obvious reasons. And, yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Yep.
We only have one game left. Let's just have you talk about it. New York Giants at Philly. What do you got?
Yeah, this is the other game like Pittsburgh and Arizona that I went really back and forth on. This is one where I have to really fight my biases with regard to these two teams because I really don't like the Giants and I really do like the Eagles. And I pick against the Giants every week and I pick the Eagles every week. And I mean, not truly. I've picked opposite at least once for each of those teams, but you know, the Eagles are at 2-3, the Giants are at 3-2. And you've told me I picked against the Giants that I need to realize that they're better than I think they are. And you know, certainly DVOA bears that out. They're the number 8 team right now. They're have the number 7 offense, number 13 defense. They're 7th on special teams. They're pretty complete in terms of playing above average football. Eli Manning is looking really, really good. Like the type of Eli Manning that went on those crazy postseason runs. But I think that we saw something from Philadelphia last week that is closer to what we saw last year and what we can expect moving forward. Really getting DeMarco Murray comfortable and involved. I think he had 8 catches as well. So they're really trying to make sure that the offense is going through him. Bradford looked more comfortable. Granted, it was against the Saints. But they did put up a bunch of points and really took control of that game early and then really leaned on their opponent. And that was cool to see. They are at home. You know, these teams know each other well. All the cliches that go with primetime interdivisional matchups kind of, you know, makes these games tougher to pick. But I'm kind of sticking with my guns. I like the Eagles. I'm still a big believer that over a large enough sample size, the Chip Kelly system works. And I expect that to bear itself out. I'd probably pick the Giants in New York, but I am taking the Eagles in Philly.
Yeah, I picked the – I kind of went against my guns too, and I picked Philly. And you know, I think you kind of encapsulated the reasoning. They're one, they're at home. Two, they finally figured it. It seems like they finally figured out like what's going on and fixed it. And you know, the Philly or the Eagles team that is playing at where they should play is really good, and I think their defense is really good too. And so, for those reasons, I think. You know, it's funny because I've told you a couple times, I think the Giants are better than we think they are, but I also don't think they're, like, real good.
Right.
I agree. You know, so yeah, that was kind of my reasoning. And I agree, I think if it was in New York, I probably would have picked the Giants in this one, but went with the home team on Monday Night Football. Kind of, it'll be one of those fun games again, probably high scoring, so... yeah, that's all we have for these games this week. We got, let's see here, four differences. I picked Jacksonville, or I picked Houston. Jackson picked Jacksonville. I picked, let's see here, what other ones did we get? We got, you picked Cleveland.
Yep.
I picked Denver. I picked San Francisco. You picked Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
That was 3. What was the other one?
I think you picked Houston, and I took Jacksonville.
Yeah, I said that one. Oh, and then you – oh, okay. And then you picked Detroit, and I picked Chicago. So this will be a fun week. You know, next week we could be talking about how Jackson pulled away, or we could be talking about how his protege, Dan.
You know, one thing that I really like about this is I think you and I kind of have a little bit of a contrast – in styles. I've got some formulas that I have, you know, served me really well the last few years picking games, and I kind of stick to them even if my gut is telling me differently. And I think that you spend so much time really knowing these teams. I think that you have a lot of knowledge of some of these teams. It's far more in depth in terms of schematics and personnel than I do. So it's kind of cool to see you bring that extra knowledge in and see how you approach some of these games. It really is totally different.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun kind of finding out like our biases and kind of some of our rationales in picking games. So, and obviously so far through 5 weeks, we're tied. So it's been, been pretty
fun.
We
had a request to include our Monday night score picks. So, you know, that's one of the, one of the criteria with our pigskin pick 'em. So I just in response to the request, I had the Eagles 23-20.
Okay. And I'll take the Eagles 31-27.
Cool. And then my against the spread for this week, I've got Jacksonville winning a pick'em game. I have Cleveland with a natural cover as an upset against Denver. And those are the two that I feel really good about, but I'm gonna throw New England covering that 7.5 on the road as well.
All right. I like it. Well, that was another good week of the Deep Balls podcast. Yeah. So again, if you're listening, make sure you if you're listening on Field Goals and you're watching the YouTube, make sure you subscribe on iTunes. You can find us at we'll include the link on the post. But you can also just look up Deep Balls from Field Goals. Make sure if you're not in our Pick'em group yet that you want to join, that's still open. It's called Field Goals Deep Balls. Field Goals : Deep Balls. You know, we've got 130 something people in there. It's a lot of fun to kind of track your progress against people that you probably, you know, you recognize their usernames from Field Goals or see them on Twitter or whatever. And so that's kind of been fun. And then obviously you can test your mettle against Jackson and me. But go to iTunes and subscribe. And then obviously remember to go and subscribe on iTunes as well to NFL Mock Draft or 3000 NFL Mock Draft. That's Kenny and Rob Staten. They talk about college football and NFL draft every week. And then also Reel in the Field Goals you can find on iTunes. That's Kenny and I talking to different guests every week, usually beat writers or people in the know about their team. This week we're talking to Will Brinson from CBS Sports.
Nice kid.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. He's obviously he's not a beat reporter or anything for the Panthers, but he's from that area. I think he still lives there. And so he knows that team really well. And he's always a fun guy to talk to. He knows his stuff. So make sure you listen to that. Subscribe on iTunes to Reel in the Field Goals. Anything else to add, Jackson, before we let the listeners go?
Nope, not at all, man. I'm good.
All righty. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week.